single verse tonight in our message is found in Proverbs chapter 25, verse 11. A word fitly spoken is like apples of gold in pitchers of silver. Other translations will have this as a picture of golden apples in a silver basket, and or a golden apple on a relief of silver. You know, words are important. And words for all of us are things that we act on, and they could have almost a neon sign presence, because we're known by our words. We're known by what we say. You know, everybody in government, everybody on the news is characterized by the words that they speak. You know, words send a message. If you were in the military and you had communication, all those communication classes, you have the sender and the receiver, and you have the message, and the messages are the words. But do our words send a good message, or do they send a wrong message? God monitors every word we say. In Malachi chapter 3, verse 13, the prophet Malachi brings a accusation against the people from the Lord and says this: "Your words have been stout against me." There's always someone listening. God's always listening, and there's others that overhear your conversation. Words do send a message. He says, "Your words have been stout against me, saith the Lord. Yet ye say, what have we spoken so much against thee?" No, once you say it, it's done. And we need to be accountable for our words. We are accountable for our words. Words send a message. Secondly, words leave a legacy. When you think of Dr. Martin Luther King, what do you hear? What do you think in your mind? I have a dream. When you think of John F. Kennedy, you think of, ask not what you could do for a country, do for you, but what you can do for your country. If you think of Neil Armstrong, you think of, that's one small step for man, one giant leap for mankind. And words leave a legacy. Christ says, and he's just teaching the people. And in Luke chapter 24, verse 8, when Christ is speaking, he says, and they remembered his words. Talk about his disciples after the crucifixion. They remember what Christ was talking about. Folks, it would be nice if we could get the message the first time it was, before the thing happened, and look in foresight instead of hindsight. But words can be remembered, because words leave a legacy. Matthew chapter 24, verse 35, which are a memory verse for last week. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall what? Not pass away. God's words always have a legacy, and we as Christians should use godly words that we can leave a legacy to. So words send a message. Words leave a legacy. Words can incite either a positive response or a negative response. You say something in my office, and within a minute, there'll be a full raging debate, because it's just something that someone said. You know, words incite a response. In Haggai, the people have been living for 15 years not building the temple. And Haggai comes down and calls them out and says, hey, why is God's temple laying waste and you're living in good houses? You remember what he said? Go to the mountain, cut down wood, build a temple. Hey, so words do leave a legacy, don't you? Don't they? But here it says, then Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, and Joshua, the son of Jozadak, the high priest, and all the remnant of the people obeyed the voice of the Lord. of the Lord their God, and the words of Haggai the prophet, as the Lord their God had sent him, and the people did fear before the Lord. When God speaks, we need to listen. When God speaks, we need to act. When God speaks, it should change our behavior to match what He wants us to do. When God speaks, that's His will. Words send a message. Words leave a legacy. Does God's word incite a response from you? Does reading His word motivate us to live like Him, or live for Him, or serve Him? See, words should incite in the Christian, especially a word from God, should incite a Christian to action. So, words. I'm going to make an acrostic tonight using the letters and words. And there's five things that words do that we as a Christian should understand. The first one is our words should have worth. I remember, you remember the Charlie Brown cartoons, you know, the specials, and then they're in the classroom, the teacher, wah, 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 wah. You know, how many times in our churches that our worship to God is just wah, 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 wah. Or when someone's preaching, it just goes wah, 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 wah. Or how many times we just say something empty, it may be just in passing. Well, how are you today? I'm fine. And we don't engage, even though that person really needs someone to talk to, we just put out an empty word. See, our words should have worth. Our words should have some sort. They should have a message. They should leave a legacy. They should incite a response. See, Job had his three friends. And his three friends kind of came over and started talking to him and trying to encourage him. And if you read through the book of Job, you find out that all those words of encouragement turn out to be words of accusation. And they didn't help Job at all. Job says, hey, why are you even here? Your words are not doing anything to help me. See, our words need to have worth. He told his face, he says, shall vain words have an end? Or what emboldeneth thee that thou answerest? See, our words should not be worthless, which is what vain means. Our words need to have worth. They should do something. In Isaiah chapter 55, verse 11, Isaiah was the prophet sent to the people, okay? During the time of Hezekiah and the kings around him that preceded him and after him. And God asked about his word. He says, so shall my word that goeth forth out of my mouth, it shall not return unto me what? Void. It sends a message. It leaves a legacy. It should incite a response. He says, but it shall accomplish that which I please. When Isaiah spoke, his words had weight. You know, Peter writes about Paul, about his written word. He says that his letters are weighty and hard to understand, but we really need to pay attention to them. See, if we focus on Christ and we do what God wants us to do, our words should have worth. Even in passing conversation, they should have worth. He says, but it shall accomplish the thing which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. We all have a message. It was interesting tonight, the songs. He didn't know what. Wonderful words of life. I have a message from the Lord. Hallelujah. The message unto you I give. See, our words should have worth. And if they have worth, they will benefit the people who hear them. They will cause them and incite a response for them to do a good thing. So our words should have worth. Secondly, our words should offer grace. We experience God's grace every day. This morning, it's not about me. It's not about me on how I should love. It's about God. It's not about me when I'm wronged. I have some opportunity to be positive with it. It's not about me. It's about God. And so our word should offer grace. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29, it says, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying. I think, folks, our church needs to learn to speak that we can edify one another.
Amen.
We need to start speaking that we edify one another. That it might minister what? Grace to the hearers. See, there's a message in our words. It will leave a legacy. It should elicit a positive response. See, we've been going through the Sermon on the Mount. Blessed are the what? Merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. You know, we can go one more thing. You want to experience God's grace, you need to be gracious. And our words need to be gracious. The words in Colossians chapter 4, verse 6 says this, let your speech be always with grace. What are we supposed to be in the world? Salt and light. Seasoned with salt. That ye may know how, what? Ye need, how ye ought to answer every man. The man outside the body, the man inside the body. Regardless if it's outside or inside, our words need to be seasoned with grace. They should be always with grace and seasoned with salt. Why? Because what is our purpose? Let your light so shine before men that ye may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. So our words don't need to be empty. Our words need to have worth. Our words need to offer grace. Our words should restore. Our words should restore. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 18 through 20, it says, and all things are of God, who have reconciled us to Himself by Jesus Christ, and have given to us the ministry of reconciliation. To wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto Himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and have committed unto us the what? Everybody say, word of reconciliation. That is to restore people. That is to lift them up to the sake of edifying. They should offer grace. Now then, we are ambassadors. What is an ambassador? An ambassador is someone who speaks for another country and for his native country in a foreign country. We need to speak as ambassadors for Christ in this foreign country called the world. This world is not my home.
Amen.
I'm a citizen. I'm a child of the King. And my grace and my words should leave a legacy of glorifying God.
Amen.
And they should show grace. And they should be worth. And it should send a message. God's message. It's not about me. And it should leave a lasting legacy. And it should incite people to action. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled unto God. See, if we're reconciled to God, our speech will have worth. Our speech will offer grace. Our words will restore. In Galatians chapter 6, verse 1, finally, our brethren, if any man be overtaken in fault, ye which are what? Spiritual, restore. How on earth are you going to restore someone unless you talk to them? How on earth is anything going to be done unless it's communicated to us? Does His word excite action? Restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. So our word should have worth. Our word should offer grace. Our word should restore people. Then our words should reflect our deeds. In the book of Acts, chapter 7, verse 22, it says, "And Moses was learned in all the wisdom of the Egyptians and was mighty in works and deeds." Boy, could you imagine? Here comes Moses after the third or fourth plague. And what did the magicians say? "Don't mess with this dude anymore. He's mighty in words and deeds." It was like a big neon sign. Here comes Moses. I wonder what else is going to happen. Okay? Folks, our lives should be a great neon sign. Here comes David. I know what he's going to preach. I know what he's going to say. They're going to be worthwhile words. They're going to offer grace. They're going to try to restore a lost person to Christ. Or a Christian and be reconciled to Christ. Folks, our words should be a neon sign. When people see us, and here he comes! Here she comes! She's a Christian. He's a Christian. We need to listen to what they say. If people can listen to E.F. Hutton, they ought to listen to what we say.
Amen.
So our words should reflect our deeds. He was mighty in words and in deeds. In 1 John chapter 3, verse 18, John writes, he says, "My little children, let us love not in word, neither in tongue, but let our words be backed up by what?
Deed
and what we were talking about this morning, truth." Don't swell. Everything you say should be truthful. So our words should reflect our deeds. See, words when you don't mean it are empty. And that, it won't take a long time for people to understand that you're just a bag of hot air if you're never going to do anything. See, Christ even talked about this. In Matthew chapter 21, verses 28-31, it says, "But what think ye?" So Christ is asking them a question. He said, "A certain man had two sons. And he came to the first and said, 'Son, go work in the day in my vineyard.' He answered and said, 'I will not.' But afterward he repented and went. And he came to the second and said, 'Likewise.' And he answered and said, 'I go, sir, and went not.' Whether of the twain did the will of the father?" The one that said he was going to do something and didn't do anything, or the one that said he wasn't going to do anything but did it anyway and changed his mind and then told everybody he changed it. I know, "Well, you're out of here. Well, I changed my mind. I got convicted and I need to be working in my father's field today. I knew what I said was wrong." They said, and then the first. Jesus said unto him, "Verily I say unto you, that the publicans and harlots go into the kingdom of God before you." You know why? Because the Pharisees and the scribes and most of the religious Jews that day were full of empty words. Their words did not have worth. Their words did not provide grace. Their words had nothing to do to restore a lost sinner to heaven and make him a child of the king. Their words didn't match their deeds. Lastly, our words should offer solace. our words should offer solace. In Zechariah chapter 1, verse 13, Zechariah gets these visions. And it's kind of scared him to death. But then the angel comes and says, hey, the Lord answered the angel that talked with me with good words and comfortable words. See, Zechariah got the message. He was no longer concerned about going to the nation of Israel and preaching what God had told him to do, because he saw that God's words had worth in them. He saw that there was grace being provided. He saw that God wanted people to be restored. He saw that God wanted the deed that they had started in building the temple to be completed, instead of just talking about it. You know, sitting around the campfire or sitting around the stove talking about something will get nothing ever done. Talking around the water cooler at work will get nothing done. Action will get things done. Zechariah 1:13 says that. Paul writes to the Thessalonican church and says, look, he says, this is talk about the second coming of Christ and the rapture and all those things. And he says this, he says, wherefore comfort one another with these words. How do we talk to people? Do we talk to them that we're better than them? Do we talk to them as if we're an equal in need of the same grace that they need? See, not only do our words send a message, but how we deliver those words send a message too. And so, our words should offer solace. They should bring comfort to people who are hurting. Maybe they just don't know and they need to be restored. So my question tonight is this. We need to take action. Are your words worth something? What do your words offer to other people? Do you use your words to restore others? What's the spirit in which they're given? Do your words match your deeds? Do your words provide needed solace? It's words. Maybe you can remember that and we can apply it to our life. See, in Psalm chapter 19, verse 14, David writes this. He says, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Let's stand. We need to search our lives. And we need to ask ourselves, have we told Christ that we need the word of salvation? That we need to follow Him? If you died right now, you know you go to heaven. Is that something you still say you're still working on? If you're still working on it, you're not going. I got a good word for you. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, lived a perfect life, fulfilled all the requirements of the law, was a substitute on the cross for a murderer who represents all of us, paid the penalty for his sin and our sin, the death penalty, was buried and rose again on the third day to show he has victory over sin and over death, and he offers you the free gift of eternal life. Amen. If you just accept his word and take his word for it and ask him to forgive your sins, he'll save you.
Amen.
How are our words stacking up in our Christian life, Christian? Do we need a vocabulary change? Do we need to change our message? Are we just using empty words and going through the motions? Or is our words and our life worth something? Does it show grace? Does it work to restore people? Does our words match our deeds? And do we offer comfort? We need to do a checkup tonight and see if we need to follow Him and get something right. Heavenly Father, Lord, I just ask you this time of invitation. Father, I pray that you search our hearts. And as David cried out, let the words of my mouth be acceptable unto you. Lord, help us. We're a needy people. And we ask these things in your Son's name. Amen.